Hello everyone, my name's Paul and I'm an addict. Yeah, I wasn't really sure what I was coming down here to do. I wasn't sure if it was music or I do a bit of music, so I'm a little bit off guard here. Before I start a cheer, I like to grass myself up because my ego tells me that I'm gorgeous and good looking. And then I'll start trying to impress the ladies, you know, thinking I'm Denzel Washington or something, you know? And I grass myself up because I see the fellas there and I have to think I'm an hard nut and I really ain't, you know? So I like to grass that up and try not to make people laugh, and that's not my intention, it's just to say my story. This is a life and death thing, it definitely was for me. And the people that have heard my story, I've only got one story, so you're gonna have to hear it again. But my name is Paul and I'm an addict, and I share in a general way what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was brought up in East London, Leighton, near Oliver Close, near Leighton Orient. I'm a Leighton Orient supporter. And it was scary times. It was in the 80s when I was growing up, and there was a lot of skinheads and things like that. Being a young black boy, didn't understand it. There was fighting on the terrace. And then I found out I was black, you know? Like, oh, shit, you know? Like, oh, gosh, here we go. And scary times. I look back. A lot of my chair is like looking back, and I can see clearer as I'm looking back, you know. So I remember we lived on an estate. I lived 18 floors up, and I absolutely loved it. I'm from the era of All Man He, Run Outs, Heeble, Kiss Chase, Grain Jill, you know, proper Connect Four, proper games. You get what I mean? You know, drafts and all that, Monopoly. I'm from that era, and we had so much fun. It was great. It was great growing up in the 80s, and it was like a community kind of spirit over there. But I used to hang around, looking back again, it's always in that hindsight. I used to hang around. You lot guys, I could have known you all my life, and I'd be hanging around with you, but I'd still feel separate. Do you know what I mean? Even though I'm in that group, I feel separate. I've got a friend called Jermaine. I lived at 185 Arthur Punchin Tower. My friend lived at 185 James Collins Tower, identical, but I wanted to live in his flat. The same thing, do you know what I mean? It's just, and looking back, it's just, I wasn't happy with what I had. If you had Farrahs, I know young people don't even know what Farrahs are, right? If you had Farrahs, I wanted Farrahs. If you had Adidas Gazelles, I needed that. I'd pester my mum for that. You know, waffle trousers, and I'm going on a bit here, innit? Atari. I needed that in my life. And when I got it, it didn't fill the hole. You know, my dad wasn't about, you know, my dad was really busy. You know, he was a busy man. He was womanizing. That takes a lot of time, doesn't it? And gambling, you know, that took a lot of time as well. And my mum done free cleaning jobs. I'm 18 floors up on my older brother and I didn't listen. And it was that kind of thing. And then it just progressed a little bit. And then I didn't do drinking or drugs or anything at a very young age. But I was hanging around with people. And as I got a bit older, they smoked a bit of weed. And I wanted to be like them. So I smoked a bit of weed, you know. And that was it with my friend Roger. And because everyone seemed to like Roger. Roger had a nickname and, you know, they liked Roger. And I wanted to be like Roger. So whatever Roger did, I did. That progressed, and I was that kid in school that, you know, if you were smoking a cigarette, I'll chase you and get your fags and crush it on the floor and think that was funny, and just that annoying little kid, that was me. And then as we got a little bit older, Ease came out, you know, Ease and Trips. I was hearing all this Ease and Trips stuff. I was scared of Trips, people talking about hallucinating and stuff like that. And I was frightened at seeing spiders come through the floor. And I'd be like, how is that a buzz? Like seeing spiders come through. My mate's face changed into a monster. Well, that doesn't sound like a buzz to me. So, and I was a scared little boy. I was always that scared little boy. And after a little while, after everyone was raving, I took half a love dove. Mate, changed my life. I loved everyone. I wasn't that scared little boy anymore. I could speak to white people. I know that sounds funny, right? But any white person that had a tattoo on their arm, it brought me back to Leighton Orient. My mum never used to let us play out when Sheffield Wednesday was playing because they were just proper racist at the time. So I've always hated Sheffield Wednesday because they stopped me from playing out on a Saturday. But anyway, I digress. So, yeah, what was I saying now? I'll go off a bit sometimes, sorry. What was I saying? I was talking about... Yeah, I took the Love Dove and it was great. I loved it. I'm not here because I didn't love, like, drugs or the feeling, you know. I'll be honest, it's what happened, which I will get into. And I could speak to women and I could dance all night and I could do all these sorts of things. And but I used to look at people and I'd say, they'd be like, what's happening, mate? And they'll be like, yeah, I'm on like 8 pills. I'd be like, 8? Like, 8. And 6 months later, my jaw's on the floor and, you know, and I'm on, I don't even know how many pills I'm on, but I'm on a lot. And I just kept going, and that happened. And I liked it around them times. It was fine. And there were some other boys from my area that was pretty cool. They was doing burglary. Well, it was not cool, but growing up, they was doing burglaries and robberies, and they had nicknames, and everyone seemed to respect them, and they was driving illegally. And it's, that's what I need to be doing with my life, you know? So I latched onto them, and I started doing the same thing as them, really. And I wasn't brought up like that. There's no one in my family that went to prison or anything like that. But here's little old lost me doing burglaries, robberies, and all the other things that a lost kid does on the estate. And well, when we was making the money, what that they was doing, they was buying crack. And they were smoking that on tins on the cans on the stairs. And I'm like, I need to be doing that shit, man. You know, it's just, how warped is that? I just need to be fitting in. I'm not happy with self. I know that now. I need to be doing what you're doing, or I need to be seeing how I see you. You know, it's just crazy. So I done that for a while. I was smoking on a can. I was about 18, I think, them times. I was about 18. And at the same time, my partner at the time, she was pregnant. And, you know, I'm 18 years old. I didn't buy a dummy, a nappy. I just weren't in it. Just, they have nothing to do with it. But, so the 9 months went on and word got back to me, you know, it's crazy when you think about it, that she had the baby, you know, my first son, Elias. And I turned up at the hospital and her first words to me was, what do you want? You know, that, and I look back and I think, that is not a great start, is it? But what did happen was I saw how my dad is with me and I am with my dad, and I thought, I'm not going to be like that. And I remember sitting on the bed and I'm thinking, and a voice said, just do what your dad didn't do. It was clear, just do what your dad didn't do, like, remember your birthday, you know, like, ring you up sometimes and ask how you're doing. You know, just the basic stuff. Go to the school, give the mum some money, you know, things like that, because my dad did none of that. So I'm grateful for my dad now because he still taught me how not to be, if that makes sense, yeah? So that was that. And I had resentment with him for years. So I turned into, you know, the father that I thought I need to be. I know about cradle cap, colic. Like, I was in. My mum says, you changed overnight, literally. Like, the burglary stuff stopped and all of that stuff. I had a few cases and I got off all of them. I had about 8 cases and I got off all of them with a suspended sentence, and that was cool. And then I was doing the whole father thing, and that was great. And I stopped smoking the crack on the stairs with the rest of the boys, because I had, my son was now my higher power. He was my focus. It wasn't about me, it was about him. And I remember sitting on the bed and you know, so much things happens in that hospital, and a man was across with me and he had a baby seat, you know, to get into the car. I didn't have none of that. I'm in the back of a cab, do you know what I mean, with my baby, and it's like little things, and I'm looking at myself, and I'm not a religious man, but I remember there was a part in the story when I talk about Adam and Eve, and he had no clothes and he realized he was naked. That's how I felt, like, you've got nothing. If there's, you know, no grades, nothing. So I just dived into parenting, and I like to think I tried my best at that time at 18 years old, and that was that. So that went on a few years, and then I always had a little talent for music, and I think Jungle came out. Jungle music was out, and all of this sort of stuff, and I was on Cool FM, and so I got back into the world back out there after being at home on the music side. So all my friends are out there doing what they're doing, but I've come back out on music. And so I've gone back into the clubs, and my friends that have was doing whatever, they've progressed. They've got jewelry now, you know. They've got women from Essex and stuff like that, you know. And I'm thinking, wow, you guys have, you know. But I'm still on the music side, you know. I'm on the music side, and I'm doing my little thing, and I'm seeing them, but I'm not really linked with them. And so we're still going on, and then you know, garage music, for those of you know what it is, that's kind of popping off, and I'm kind of on that little wave at the moment, but I'm still on the music side. But at the same time, they're smoking crack spliffs in the clubs now, and I'm getting a little name for myself, and, you know, and it's just bubbling. And then eventually, with this whole garage thing, it kicks off. Garage is huge. I'm at the forefront, just tossed into the forefront with it. I've got a song, I'm on Top of the Pops, I'm going around Europe, I'm on tours, I'm doing all this stuff. I've got more money than sense. And it says it in the big book, when, you know, he says, Bill said, I've arrived, you know, that special token of appreciation. I don't have to line up, you know. I ain't lined up since school dinners. I don't have to line up in clubs anymore. You know, it's just, I'm getting flown around the world. I'm thinking, I'm arrived, I've made it, sort of thing. And but I'm still smoking. That book is, you know, I don't know how people do their work, but I crossed off Bill's story and put Paul's story, and just what it meant to me. And yeah, it just progressed. And I got a special token of appreciation, and my using was, I'm still smoking it in a crack spliff, in a spliff at the moment, and I'm drinking, and I'm doing all the other things, you know, just living that, cheating, you name it, I'm doing it all. And I remember after about a 3-day bender, this is, I'm jumping the gun now, because the solution is where I live. I'm just getting some identification. And I remember sitting at the end of the bed at my mum's, and I'm taking stuff out of my pocket, and there's a bit of crack, and there's some coke and weed and pills and, you know, stuff that you just, oh, I forgot I had that, and crumpled up money and all that. And I remember, but I'm coming down. I'm down now, and my phone's been off, you know, that one. My phone's been off. Everyone's looking for me and all this stuff. I spent all the money I made. And I remember looking in the bin, and there was a can in there. I'm in trouble already, but there's a can in there. I need to come off this downer. And I can just remember it. And I remember that little voice again that said, Paul, if you do this, it's on. It is on, right? You know this. And at that point, I made a decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of crack cocaine as I understood it. That's what happened. And I hit that, and it done what it said on the tin, and it was, you know, I was going down anyway, but that hit the floor. So now I'm back on, I'm piping, and plus I'm in a little bit of the limelight in that scene, so everyone knows, so I'm double scared as well, and I'm using, I can't get myself together, I'm stealing off my mum, what else am I doing? Cheating, I'm picking up prostitutes, you know, there's so much stuff. I'm not looking after my kids properly. I've nicked the skiing money. This is in my 30s. This is not like, you know, when I was a kid. I was a grown man. My son was a teenager at the time. This is what I'm doing. Not coming home for days. You know, I've smoked fluff off the floor thinking it's crack. You know, I've soap powder, peanuts, everything. I've done it all, you know. And I can go on and on and on and on about all the things I did, all the things I didn't do, shouldn't have done, and all the rest of it. And I was just full-blown crackhead. Full-blown. That's where I am, that's where I am. And all the other bits and bobs, you know? And I know it. I used to use with people and say, you know, we're crackers, innit? Just mess up their buzz, you know what I'm saying? I used to do that, because I knew it. I'd look at keyholes for hours, man, just out there. That's like, they used to call me Group 4. Group 4, Paul's doing Group 4 security again. Do you get what I mean? Have you ever tried to look round a corner from a spy hole, like round the corner behind there, like what's all that? I was that guy. I was that guy. I was like, shh, shh. No, just shush, shush, shush. That was me. Do you know what I mean? On my hands and knees, looking every speck, you know? Gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yeah. And then what happened is, I told my mum one day, I said, Mum, you know all the smoke coming from the bathroom and why I've never got no money? Because I'm in trouble. I know I'm in trouble. And I said, yeah, I smoke drugs and that. And she was happy. She's like, you know, we'll get through this together. You know, you've told me now, so we can stop. I thought that would work. Didn't work. And now she knows I smoke crack. I went and lived with my cousin in the Docklands because I really respected my cousin. So I told him, he let me move in. Started smoking crack in his house, you know. I went to Miami, to Dominica. Done that. I went church. I went mosque. Went gym. You know, I told someone at work, I was still working. I worked in a school, in a kids' school, and I was referring kids to drug counsellors. I was a behaviour specialist, so they called me, and I'm referring them. You know, it's mad. And I'm saying, I think you need to see a drug counsellor. I've just been smoking crack for the last 2 days, and I'm telling this kid, he needs to go and see a drug counsellor. And the things I used to do, I used to go to teachers, I've got a toothache, I need 20 quid to get it taken out. Do you get what I mean? I used to smoke crack on the way to school, you know? It's mad. But anyway, so I'm just giving you a piece of the lengths that I've been through and all the rest of it. And then I got my last chance, yeah? Then after that last chance, I got another last chance. And then after that chance, my mum gave me another last chance. And my ex-missus, she gave me another last chance. And after that last chance, you know the story, you get the last chance and the chance after. And that went on for years, that last chance, until one day I knocked on my mum's door. Because you can always go back to your mum's. She opened the door and she had it like that. You know, like, just hold, open it. Says, you can't come in here no more. I'm the last kid as well, the sport one. He's so cute, that one. She's not letting me in. She's like, I'm not giving you no money, but I'll give you food. And I'm just like, what? It was just mad. And then I'd go to my ex-missus house, and my son would say, Mum says you can't come in there no more. And I don't know about you, but after a bender for a couple of days, I just want a warmth and a hug is what I want. I don't know why I spent the money. Why have you done it? I can't tell you why I've done it. Honestly, I do not know why I've done it. I wake up again thinking I've done this again, and what's it all about? But eventually, I think I ran Frank or someone like that. I can't even remember. I was cracking in it, but I rang someone, and I thought I needed to go to rehab. But somehow it was suggested to go to Ad Action in Hackney, and so I went. But it's different this time. Completely different, because remember, I've tried before. I went mosque, I went swimming, I went gym, I've done all that. But see, this time, I'm serious. I'm in there, they're asking me questions. I'm putting my hand up. We had to do homework, collage. I was on Top of the Pop 6 months before that, you know, but I'm like, I'm doing a collage. I'm on it. They ask, until the woman said to me, Paul, can you let someone else answer some questions, please? You know, I was so on it. I was so on it because I don't want to upset anyone or anything like that. That's not my intention. But I'm not going out like a drug addict. I am not going out like a drug addict. No way. Especially that you guys can help me and you know how to do it and you can show me how to do it. I ain't going out like that. But I'm not there yet. I'm not at 12-step yet. She's cancelling me. And she was great because, you know, like some people used to say to me, Paul, oh, don't be too smart, just be one smart. I always think I know everything. I always think I know everything, but she was perfect for me. Because I would say something and she would just go, and I'd want her to challenge me and I would have an answer, but she would go, we'll explore that later. And that was it, and just left me there. And I'd be like, and it just really made me look at my, every time I'd say something thinking I'm smart, she'd go, we'll explore that later. And that was how she dealt with me. And then we had the one-on-one, and then I was telling her about my using, and she goes, I think you should go Cocaine Anonymous. I think you should try that. Right, but this, remember, I'm listening. Okay, complete stranger. Don't know who you are, but because you said that, I'm going to go. That's where I met you lot. That's where I met you lot. So I wasn't the only one looking through keyholes for hours. You know, one time, yeah, I was watching, I think it's, remember Richard and Judy? I was watching that, right? And one morning, and I was using, and then I was using it for hours. And then when I come downstairs again, it was still on. And I was like, what? It's been on for ages. And it was the next day, do you know what I mean? Oh, man. But anyway, so, yeah, that was mental. I was like, right, it's Thursday. Crazy. So I met you lot, and you told me about looking through the keyhole. You've been through picking up the specs on the floor. You know, the fellas watching porn all night. I thought I was the only one that did that. Do you get what I mean? Found out you all did it. I know some of you trying to hide, but yes, we did. And so, no, but it's I'm being honest. That's what I thought. Okay, so what's going on? And I just kept coming back, and I just thought, I'm going to keep going. I'm listening now. I'm engaged. I'm doing this thing. You know, and I heard the stories, and I listened to the similarities, and on it, that's what I go for. Unless you guys was using with me, you can't know this stuff. You can't know it, you know? And then I thought, and then I'm seeing people clean and well, and it just begs the question, well, how did you do it? And some people's injecting in their groin, and some people are doing this, and some lost their kids, and I'm like, how did you do that? You know? But I kept coming back. I thought it was a cult as well. I went through that stage. Yeah, this is some kind of cult, some kind of mad thing. It's nuts. It's like, I'm not going to be able to live my life properly anymore. It's boring. I'm going to have to come and sit in these rooms all the time. I was going through all of that stuff, but I needed to be clean. I wanted my kids to respect me, you know. I'm not going out like a drug addict. If I can help it, you know. And then you told me what was wrong with me, really. Brilliant. It was just amazing. You said to me I had a threefold illness. You know, the first part was a mental obsession, because I just thought I was greedy, shit dad, you know that one. Like, irresponsible, selfish, just that's it. Because I was behaving like that, so I thought it was that. But you guys said, no, you're sick. You actually have an illness. I was like, really? I was like, yeah. Mental obsession. Can't stop thinking about it. And I would look into myself and be like, that's right. Because I'll be at my mum's house, she's having a 60th party, whatever. Little calypso, because she's Dominican. And I'm cool, my kids are there, everything's fine. Everything's no problem. And then a thought goes, get some gear. All of a sudden, have you seen them things in the movies when something strange happens and the background zooms back and it's like, duh, duh. That's what happens to me. It's like, now it's like you're getting some gear. I can't think about the kids. I can't shake this thought. I cannot shake it. It's just there. I might hold on for a day. I might go and use. I might want to use and go and do it. Or I might think, no, I've got work tomorrow. Or, oh my God, I've got to do this thing. Or got to, whatever it is. And I can't shake this thought. All right? And you know, people that don't use, I like to say this to them because they try and explain it. So I'm going to give you this one. I say to them, you see, when you want to go toilet and you are bursting, you know that one, like you're bursting to go toilet. I say, just don't go. Just don't go. Just forget about it. Do you know what I mean? I said, now do that and times that by 10, because that's what's going on in my brain. Do you get what I mean? I'll steal my kids' money for that. You won't steal your kids' money if you want to go to the toilet, but I'll steal my kids' money for that. So mental obsession, strike one, because no one told me I was an addict. They just told me what they suffer from, and I identified with it. So strike one, mental obsession, that's what happens to me. I haven't got a favourite one, but if I had a favourite one, would be the second one, the phenomena of craving. Because I couldn't understand that. I was a user that the most bought 2 stones, because I'm not coming back, Bridging, right? I'm not coming back. So all this 10th and 18th and Henry and all that, I don't know what you're talking about, because I'm going to buy 2 and I'm going home and I'll see you another day. But what I used to do, I used to drive round the corner because I've been waiting for this. I can't even wait to get home. And I would lick my pipe, do what I'm doing, and then I would attempt to go home. But I don't know if you remember Knight Rider. Remember Knight Rider? My car is Knight Rider because I'm going home, but somehow it just indicates and drives back to the dealers. That's what happens every single time. And I've done that for years. And until the dealer's like, Paul, man, listen, you'll save yourself some money. Dealer's trying to save me some money. You save yourself some money, get yourself a tenth, and whatever that is. I still don't even know what that is. I'll be like, bruv, like, I ain't coming back. What are you on about? Do you know what I mean? But I'm knocking at whatever time. But that's what it was. So the phenomena of craving. So what you guys taught me was, when I put one in me, right? Because I remember, I'm like, what's phenomena mean? Phenomena means something you cannot explain. I can't explain it. When I put one in me, my brain doesn't care about bills and children and, you know, them annoying things like children that get in the way and all that stuff and work and paying your bills. But my body wants this stuff. It wants it. It needs it. And I can't explain it. It's just mental what happens when I put one in me, because I couldn't understand that. So the first part is the mental obsession. Tick, got that. Phenomena of craving. I cannot explain this craving. Can't explain it. It is intense. Like when you want to go to the toilet, like, got to, like in my brain, right? And the third part is what they call spiritual malady. I'm asking questions. Malady, French word for ill or sick or unwell. So my spirit is unwell, right? So I can understand when I see our brothers and sisters in the shop floor saying, you got 20p, mate. He's got no spirit in him. It's not there. He's got nothing. When I was a kid, I played Knock Down Ginger, All Man He, Run Outs, He Ball, Kiss Chase. I had all that energy. But you see when I'm smoking that or doing that line? Gone. I got nothing in me. My spirit is sick. People used to be watching comedies on TV, cracking up, laughing, rewinding stuff, and it's weren't even funny. Like, I just numb. I feel nothing. Just hollow. So I was like, yeah, I'm an addict. That's what it is. And then you said you needed God. I was like, you had me, man. Okay, I got 5 minutes. So yeah, you had me. And I was like, oh, really? God is going to stop me from smoking crack. Like, come on. Really? Do you know what I mean? And you gave me a book. I didn't stop for my kids. How are you giving me a book? And God's going to... But I just kept coming back. And I didn't get the God thing. Even though I believed, but I said I needed a connection. I was like, come on, man. How's that work? But the penny, I kept coming back, and the penny dropped one time, and I was like, it's a mad one, but it's what happened. I was like, man made glass, but glass comes from sand. Ooh, something else made that. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, wow, man made the wooden chair, but the wood comes from a tree. Something else made that. And I was like, men and women have sexual intercourse, but there's not a woman who says, like, next week, Wednesday, I'm making the baby's eyes. Something else says that. And I went through these loads of different things. And I was like, wow, something else made that. It's not, do you know what I mean? And my sponsor at the time said, it can't be you. It can't be you, another human being, right? And I was just like, wow, yeah, there's something else. You know, like birds pick up the seeds and they fly and they drop the seeds and trees grow. And I was just like, something else is doing that. It's fact. It's not no spooky stuff. Something else is doing it. And I was like, that's my higher power. And I speak, pray, whatever it is to that higher power. So now I had my higher power, right? Because I'm just following you guys. Then they said, get a sponsor. I thought a sponsor was someone from headquarters or something. You know, when a sponsor comes in, but it weren't. It was just one of us, wasn't it? It was just like a normal person that's been through it and willing to take someone else through it. And I just done what they told me to do to the best of my ability. That's it. I done what they told me to do to the best of my ability. That was it. That's all. They asked me two questions. Are you willing to go to any lengths for your recovery? And I said, yes. I'll tell you what that means. If my son was having his first birthday party and I was in early recovery, you're going to have to tell me about that party because I ain't going. That's what it meant to me. I make no apologies. There was the 99% ain't enough. You need to do the whole, I needed to do the whole 100. You know, if there's a job interview, life-changing job interview, early recovery, I ain't getting that job, mate. Sorry, because I ain't going. I got to get clean first. And through that process, when I done that, I never used again. Mad that, innit? Never used again. I'm doing it, like, I want forever recovery. You know how long forever is? That's after I'm dead. I still don't want to use, man. I'm talking forever, and it's worked. And what is it like now? I got married in recovery. Let me finish. I got divorced in recovery. Yeah? He knows. We know, don't we? Yeah, but I didn't pick up. I never saw my kid, and that was a messy break. I never saw my kids for years, didn't pick up. I'm a firefighter, can you believe that? I'm a firefighter in recovery. I've done the knowledge, I'm a black taxi driver in recovery. And I haven't used. I've got another partner, I've moved out, and it's all gravy. I still do the music, I still go to Dubai and Ibiza and all these places, and I don't drink or do drugs. And I owe my life to this program. I honestly do. And you guys coming up here, making yourselves vulnerable and sharing your story so I can connect with it, so I can say, if you can do it, I can do it. You know, and I love you all. Seriously, I do. And I leave it there. Thank you.